Well, we've had a bit of a gap in time as we've been looking together at Proverbs. You may recall that previously we had three messages from Proverbs 1. It was one message introducing the book. We saw the preacher, Solomon, the purpose of the book, to know wisdom and instruction, and the pedestal of Proverbs, which is to know the fear of the Lord. That is the foundation, that is the basis of the book. And we went on to see the fatherly advice in the rest of chapter 1, with the young man pictured who was enticed to join the neighborhood gang, and then the alternative to that, which is the cry of wisdom, wisdom personified as a woman. And we've reflected how Christ himself is wisdom. So when we think on these things in Proverbs 2, we can see that seeking after wisdom is to be seeking after Christ, to know him and to obey his word. And so this evening we come to chapter 2, and we see that the theme of fatherly advice to a son continues. My son, if you receive my words. Well, the chapter falls into two parts, and if I have a title for this chapter, it is Precious Protection, the precious protection of wisdom. The first part of the chapter concerns the great value, the preciousness of wisdom, and the second concerns the protection that wisdom will bring. And we're going to encounter another player, another character on the stage in the drama of Proverbs, that is the harlot or the strange woman. So firstly, the preciousness of wisdom. Here we are back in the family home as the father addresses his son. Well, we all know that we have a great need for wisdom. But how hard are we willing to work to get wisdom? The language here that's used implies just how precious wisdom really is and how much effort we should put in to reaching it, to attaining it. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Verse 1 says, if you receive my words. Verse 3 says, if you cry out for discernment. And verse 4 says, if you seek her as silver. How often do we feel our need for wisdom, our need for God's help, and yet we dash off a quick prayer? We don't give the time that is needed, the effort that is required, a brief glance at the word, a quick grab of the scripture, a quick prayer. Sometimes that's the circumstance. Sometimes we can't do any more than that, but sometimes we should and we can. This is very convicting. It's not just that a pastor should spend time in God's word, but every child of God should spend time in the word and time at the feet of the Lord. Here we have this idea of the preciousness of wisdom. And here are some things that follow from that thought. You see it here. And the question of whether we seek it or not. First thing is this: wisdom is precious, so we should seek it earnestly. Son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands. What does it mean to receive the words of a father? Well, I comprehend what he says. I take on board what he says. I take in what he says. I obey what he says. All those things and more. I treasure the things that he says. And I think to myself, how am I to obey? And how can I better obey? Wisdom is precious, so we should seek it earnestly. And we should cry out for discernment. Verse 3, cry out for it, he says. Well, this is prayer. We need to call upon the Lord and ask for his help. And not just ask, but really ask. Cry out for discernment. And seek her as silver. This is the earnestness, the seriousness, the dedication that's required. There's a precious metal in the rock, and it must be sought out. It must be located, and then it must be extracted, and that requires hard work. So wisdom is precious. That means we should seek it earnestly. And of course, we remember that wisdom and the Saviour are, in a sense, one and the same thing. These things apply to seeking the Lord. Secondly, wisdom is precious, and as we seek it earnestly, there are promises for us. You see, the passage begins with the weight of the value of wisdom, and then goes on to open up some promises that there are for us. And because it says, if you receive my words, if you cry out for discernment, if you seek her as silver. And of course, you know, when you have a succession of ifs, then you know you're going to come on to something following. Then if you do this, then this will happen, or this will follow. Verse 5, if, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is the fear of the Lord? Why? We know it is the beginning of wisdom. And you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God because it comes from the Lord himself. Verse 6. These are not just empty promises. These are promises which have a very solid backing. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He gives wisdom. He answers prayer. He is the unfailing source. He is the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock, says the psalmist. And he by the Spirit will lead us. Sometimes I get phone calls. And one or two of you here this week may even have made such phone calls to me very recently. But I get them from more than one person. It's not just the same person. I sometimes get phone calls where people lay something out and then they say, what should I do? What should I do? And I can't always answer the question because often I don't necessarily know. What I can do, first of all, is say, well, you must seek the Lord. And that's not to say that the person phoning up hasn't sought the Lord, hasn't prayed, but it's always answer number one, because the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That must always be the first point that we make, even if, of course, for a mature Christian, it's something they have already done. But we must always say it first. Why? Verse 7, he has stores of wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. And he guards the paths of justice there in verse 8 and preserves the way of his saints. So to seek wisdom is to seek God's wisdom. And he preserves his people's way, and he reserves blessings for his people, and he lavishes them upon his people. And he says, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. The first promise is in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. We've had if, and then. And there's a second promise in verse 9. So if, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. It's not just knowing what the Lord has said and fearing the Lord, but it's about knowing what the Lord desires and the way he would have us go. So we seek God's wisdom earnestly. We lay hold of his promises, and he will lead us in the way of truth. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. So that is the first part of the chapter, the preciousness of wisdom, and the preciousness and the promises that there are and the arguments that there are to back up those promises. And then there is the protection of wisdom. Verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. Now, it can be argued that verses 10 and 11 belong to the first part of the chapter and the second part, that they're to do with the preciousness of wisdom and the protection that wisdom brings as well. But it is a good introduction to the second part of the chapter. Gary Brady says, "Here are heaven's two guard dogs." Two guard dogs, and their names are discretion and understanding. Discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. There they are in verse 11. He calls them heaven's guard dogs. Wisdom must enter the heart, mustn't it? Godliness is vital, and knowledge of the truth must be welcome in us. When wisdom enters your heart, it's got to come in. We've got to take it in. And knowledge is pleasant to our soul. We don't reject what God has to say to us. Rather, we love it and we welcome it. So the protection of wisdom is here, these two guard dogs, discretion and understanding. And this protection takes several forms, or two forms in the main. Firstly, protection from people with wicked principles. Protection from people with wicked principles. Here, in verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and are devious in their paths. Protection from people with wicked principles. This is verses 12 to 15. There is the man who speaks perverse things. But such a man or woman could be so charming and so convincing, so thoroughly mainstream, so seemingly righteous and religious. Now, I don't want to keep referring to the United States, but in the same week that the President of the United States shook his fist against God in having what has been taken as a symbol of immorality, the rainbow plastered across all the great monuments and the White House and everything else, in the same week, there he is found at the funeral, the tragic funeral of that pastor, taking upon his lips the song Amazing Grace. And it just boggles belief that this can be the case. But here is a man who speaks perverse things, even though he seems so plausible, so believable. He is simply going against the word of God. It doesn't matter how much else of the Bible he claims to believe or to quote, he rejects so much. And it's completely two-faced, by the way. Just as Hillary Clinton and Obama and all these others, they're all on video. 4 or 5 years ago, or slightly more, before he began his run for president, saying no marriage is between a man and a woman and all that kind of thing, and I oppose same-sex marriage and all this, and it's all just fallen away because there is nothing to hold it up other than the realization, oh, the general public doesn't want this anymore. Therefore, I'll change my mind and I'll change what I will do. It's nothing to do with what God wants. Well, it's the same in every situation. We don't want to keep on dwelling on the one thing. It's just such a clear illustration of people who speak perverse things. When good becomes bad, and bad becomes good, and that which is good in the eyes of the world actually becomes positively wicked. You see, many, many people who support same-sex marriage really and sincerely and genuinely believe that they are on the right side of history and that they are doing what is good and what is right, and that they seriously believe that people who oppose are evil and bigoted. Black becomes white, nothing is absolute, everything is twisted, principles are wicked. Here is the man who speaks perverse things. For those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil. It's just all around us, rejoicing in iniquity, all around us. But God's word and God's wisdom protects his child. A man speaks perverse things, and the child of God must simply stop his ears and cry out, "Thus says the Lord." You see, The men with wicked principles walk in the ways of darkness. They have left the path which is right. They rejoice in perversity. They rejoice in doing evil. It's almost a category of even more wicked folks, but this is the way of wicked principles. It's not just that we must do wicked things, but we must accept and applaud and admire and emulate those who are going further and further in wickedness. And it's so applicable to our present day. Well, may wisdom and knowledge and the fear of the Lord make the talk and the interests of evil men and women utterly alien to us. Friends, even if it is your best friend, even if it is your brother or your sister, your mother or your father or your husband or your wife, Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. He comes and he divides families. He comes and he divides the sheep from the goats and the wicked from the good. And we must stand on the right side, whatever the cost may be. I greatly fear that I myself will soon experience what the cost is, not in church life, but in personal life, of standing for what is right and true, even if it is against a member of my own family. Well, the wisdom of the Lord protects us from those with perverse and corrupt principles. It also protects us from people who follow wicked ways. And you might say, well, there isn't much a distinction, but there is one. There is the man with wicked principles, and then we have the person here, it's a woman, who follows wicked ways and wants to entice you to follow them too. Verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death. They say, come with us. And, of course, here there is the specific picture of a prostitute, of a harlot who seeks to entice men and perhaps gullible and foolish young men particularly to come into her. But of course it's not just about women and men and vice versa. It is a general illustration of the unbeliever, of the person who is doing wickedness, who seeks to entice the believer in and says, come on, come and join me in this, come with us, believe the lie. Why, what is the lie? There is one big lie. It's the same lie that there always has been from the beginning. That's what drives us to rebel against God. It is, well, has God really said these things? Is God really acting in your best interests? Why, no. God is withholding things from you. Good things. Ah, says the seductress. She flatters with her words. God is holding something good back from you. Come and experience it. And if I follow the Lord, well, I won't have the best that I could have. If I follow the Lord, it's going to cost me a lot. And I can even become twisted in my thinking and think, well, I have followed the Lord. It's cost me a lot. Therefore, he owes me something. Therefore, I can get away with some things. No, friends, he owes me nothing, and I owe him everything. But here is the lie, and here is the immoral woman. She's a harlot. She is, in the original language, strange woman. She flatters with her words. It's a lie. It's all a lie. There's something better for you, she says. You are better than where you are. There's a fruit for you that's going to taste so good. And it's just unreasonable to deny yourself. Everything gets turned on its head. It's a picture perhaps which men would relate to best, but it's a picture for all of us. Notice in verse 17, she has forsaken her husband, who forsakes the companion of her youth. But notice more importantly the next words, and forgets the covenant of her God. That's more in mind. The covenant of God has been broken. She has broken covenant with God. What is it that entices you? What is the sin that most attracts you? Who is it that says, come with me, come this way? If only we could see the real face of the temptation, of the temptress, of the tempter who reaches out and flatters us and reasons with us and says, you can have this, you can do this, but see the real face. See that this is someone who has broken covenant with God, someone who is cursed, someone who is rejected. If only we could see the curse that rests upon the God-rejecting, covenant-breaking tempter, temptress, the one who speaks to us and says, come with me. Her way leads to death. No two ways about it. Verse 18, her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return. There is a great fall here. There is a great moral collapse in store if you give in, if you listen to her words. There will be a life that will be changed beyond recognition. What a warning it is. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. But verse 20, the guard dogs have done their work. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Then in verse 11, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. What is it that God has said? What is it that God requires? What is it? Is it true that God is withholding the best from me? Or is it rather true that he is my heavenly Father and that what he has for me is the very best and that all things work together for good for those who love God? What is true? Discretion and understanding. The guard dogs, they will flank you, one on either side, and they will keep you, and you walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. There is agency involved, and that's an old-fashioned term, I suppose. There is work to do. There is a decision involved with you and with me. There is a fight to be fought. You keep to the paths of righteousness. The Lord will send the guard dogs. He will send the helpers, but you have to keep to the paths of righteousness. And there is a reward or a loss. Verse 21, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. It is the eternal picture of heaven, of the land, of the inheritance of the saints in light, or the alternative, eternal loss, uprooted, all things utterly lost. Friends, blessings only come to those who seek and find the Lord and his wisdom. How precious is his wisdom to us. How vital it is. There is no holiness without it. There is no heaven without it. May we seek day by day to start with God's revelation and move towards our spiritual goal, which is what? The fear of the Lord. And then we will find what only he can give us. Then we will avoid the compromise of bending to wicked principles. Then we'll avoid the disaster of walking in wicked ways. Wisdom is precious. Christ is precious. We've sung it. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart does sing for joy. And wisdom is our protection as we are one with Christ by the Spirit. And we put on the whole armor of God, and day by day, to his glory, we stand. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, so you may walk in the way of goodness, and keep to the paths of righteousness. May God bless his word to our hearts.